You're listening to the Radio Diaries podcast. I'm Joe Richman. At Radio Diaries, we help people document their own lives in their own words. Our stories air on NPR and on this podcast. We're a nonprofit organization, and we rely on listeners like you. So if you want to help keep this podcast free, go to our website and click the donate button, radiodiaries.org. Today, we are celebrating Nelson Mandela's 94th birthday and revisiting our award-winning series, Mandela and Audio History. Back in 2003 and 2004, we interviewed 50 leaders of the struggle against apartheid, collecting more than 100 hours of tape. Each one of those recordings has a story behind it. Sometimes, the story is better than the tape. During the 27 years that Nelson Mandela was in prison, the public never heard his voice. One man who did was Christo Brand. Brand was one of the prison guards on Robben Island, and over the years he became friendly with Mandela. Brand was given the task of secretly recording and transcribing every prison visit with Mandela and his family. One time Brand brought home one of these cassette tapes to transcribe, and he forgot to return it to the prison authorities. And for 2 decades, the tape was forgotten in a box in his garage. Brand mentioned this recording when we interviewed him, but it took us months to convince him to let us hear the actual tape. On one side of the cassette was labeled Christian Rock. I put in side B and hit play, and the sound that came out was awful. This tape belongs on the top 10 list of important, historical, and yet unintelligible recordings. It was little more than ambience. And yet, ambience is pretty important if you happen to be producing a radio documentary and trying to recreate the texture of history. So if you listen closely, about 4 minutes into the story, you'll hear some very historically important ambience. This story is about the years Mandela and his colleagues spent in prison on Robben Island. It comes from our 2004 series, Mandela in Audio History.
This is the site of South Africa's top security jail, Robben Island, a narrow pencil of land off Cape Town, 7 miles out in the South Atlantic. These watchtowers stand guard over men who millions of black South Africans regard as their government in exile.
We landed at Robben Island. There's big iron gates, and every gate bangs behind me. Bangs behind me. And then the warder opened one of the doors of the cell, wooden doors, and then he opened the grill and he just shoved me. And there was my bucket and a couple of blankets. And that was my first night.
We worked at the lime quarry. We'd never done pick and shovel work before. So every day we had bleeding hands and blisters. Very, very hot. When we started working there, we were told that we'd work there for 6 months. We, in fact, worked there for about 13 years.
In the lime quarry, most of the time you're leaning on your shovel or your pickaxe, but all of the time you're in a group of people discussing things.
I mean, every single man on the island was a book, so to speak, and you could really learn from each one of them.
Our universe were 30 people. We were completely isolated.
They put us into a section on the island called the terrorist camp. And we were called the Terries. Nelson Mandela, Walter Sisulu, people that they identified as leaders.
It was to a very large extent a mistake for the regime to bring us together. In spite of the fact that we're in prison, we were able to stand away from ourselves and to discover the weaknesses and the mistakes that we made in the course of our struggle.
People would say that life in prison is very tedious, but nobody wandered around bored, doing nothing. And if I wanted to see you, I needed to make an appointment with you. Can you believe that in prison? I have to make an appointment to see somebody when I'm locked up with you for 24 hours a day. And people were pretty strict about it. I couldn't go up to somebody and say, okay, can we have a chat about this? No, we can't. I'm booked. But I ended up being like that because if you didn't have appointments, your life would have been unstructured and meaningless.
Asikatali no mabespopa sizimisele inkululeko.
My family lived under very difficult conditions without a head of the family who could support them, give them the love and the security which they deserved.
My name is Zinzi Mandela. When my father went to prison, I was 18 months old. So I think I was about 13, 14 when I saw him for the first time.
The following rules are applicable to all visitors to Robben Island. No parcels or articles.
I thought he would hold me, you know. I thought he would lift me in the air, you know, maybe spin me around. But obviously that didn't happen. The reality was that I had to see him behind this glass partition, and we spoke through a telephone. There were warders on either side of us, interrupting the conversation and saying, you cannot speak about that. Whose name is that? You cannot talk about that person. For many years, I never saw my father standing, because he would walk in there and find him seated already. So I had no idea even how tall he was. For him, it can't have been easy.
Well, I think in the nature of the apartheid system, they had no option but to bury us alive. No newspaper was allowed to publish a photograph of a prisoner. They hoped that way the public would simply forget us.
One tried to accept the reality that we may, in fact, spend years in prison. But we believed very strongly that we would not die in jail. We would return. But we stayed there for 27 years.
This story was adapted from our series Mandela and Audio History. You can hear all the stories and explore an audio timeline at our new Mandela website, mandelahistory.org. To hear all our work, visit radiodiaries.org. And please consider a donation to help us do what we do. I'm Joe Richman. Thanks for listening.